welcome to another episode of the Bros 3 Podcast for December 31st, 2022. And how are you doing, fam? I say, how are you doing? Are you making the best of your time and your day at the end of 22? Are you bringing that energy into 2023? That's what's up. I hope you are. And if you're not, you got time to start right. Get on the good foot for 2023. My mom, every year she comes up with like a motto for the year. And 2023 is, let's see, it is taking care of me in 2023. So that's what's up. You know, you got to rhyme. If it rhymes, it gets catchy. You know, get up in there. So what I decided to do is I had, over the last couple months, I've been jotting down thoughts, right? These are a little bit dark thoughts, but hey, I might as well get them out the way. That way 2023 is all positivity. And it's funny, you know what I'm saying? It's the most, first and foremost, it's got to be funny. You dig what I'm saying? So I was at my job, which is kind of funny because I'm actually, what do you call it? An independent contractor. So I was at a job, not my job. But a gentleman was yelling at me, right? So I'm sitting there, he's yelling at me. And I was working like 14-hour days for like 3 months, something like that. So I kind of was detached from the situation. So I see him yelling, but I'm sitting there and I noticed he was an obese gentleman, right? He had a belly, you know what I'm saying? He had that Dunlap, you know what that mean? Your stomach done Dunlapped over your belt or whatever. So I'm sitting there, and he was kind of hot in the face, right? Because I'm also fairly new to this industry. So some people take liberties with that newness, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm watching him. I'm trying to keep eye contact, but at the same time, I'm looking at his belly because I guess he was kind of upset. So he was saying it with his chest, so his, you know, his diaphragm was kind of contracting, right? So I'm sitting there looking at him like, his stomach done lapped over his pants, man. Like, you can't yell at me when your stomach done lapped. I can't take you serious. So that's what I'm taking into 2023. Like, and women, y'all feel free to use this too. Anybody, right, that's yelling at you using the big boy voice, but they can't see their genitals. Nah, bro, I can't take you serious, bro. Like, that's just it. Like, what men say? This is what the gangsters used to say back in the day. Only thing I got in this life is my balls and my word. Like, basically, you ain't breaking none for neither. That's a double negative. Hold on. Only thing I got in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for nobody. You know what I'm saying? Shaft. You dig what I'm saying? That's how you let them know. So how can I take you serious? How can I take your threat? You can't see your balls. So I, you know, and I know maybe that's the wrong way to look at it, but I'm gonna tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if y'all take that into your life, don't let nobody who can't see their genitals mess up your day, then boom, you winning. Especially if you can see yours. You can see what you standing on. You dig what I'm saying? So yeah, that's my energy, man. And I'm gonna tell you, it really does help. So I jotted down some stuff, and I'm gonna talk about it. You know, I was okay. This is kind of, it's not dark, but it was a train of thought. So I'm gonna share that with y'all. Okay, so I'm in my new field, right? And I'm trying to make connections. I'm trying to, you know, make a good influence. I don't know what you call it, right? And I don't really want to talk to people. I want my work to stand out. But at the same time, you got to network. That's just what it is, right? You got to, hey, my name is Tony Bronson. Ha ha ha, you funny. Whatever. Oh, yes, whatever, right? So I saw a gentleman. He had on a t-shirt and it had a band on it, right? I didn't know the band. I figured this is a good way to expand my knowledge. You show interest in somebody, they reciprocate, and then, you know, the ball keeps rolling, right? So I see the guy, right? I'm like, yo, that's a cool shirt. And his eyes lit up. He was like, oh yeah, man, this is my favorite band. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Now he's going to tell me about his band. So he was like, oh yeah, man, this is my favorite band. And they play headbanger music, even though he was an older gentleman. And you know, when you get older, you ain't headbanging. You nodding, but you ain't banging, right? So he was like, yeah, man. As a matter of fact, my wife got in contact with him and the lead singer of the band. And the band lead singer, man, he recorded like a personalized birthday message. And he was like, oh, okay, I was like that. And he got on his phone, he wanted to show me the video. I'm like, okay, I really don't care, but this is what people do. This is how you network, right? So he flipping through and he finds the video, he plays the video. Hey, what's up, man? My name is Rock Rockerson, man, and I hope you having a jamming birthday. And I heard, no, someone said it was your birthday, bro. And he put up the devil horns like, yeah, give him hell. And he did the headbangers ball, like flick the tongue out, like, welcome to the headbangers ball. He did that, right? And like you could see, it was a good memory for the guy. So I was like, okay, cool. I made a connection. And then the guy looked at the video wistfully and he was like, yeah, the guy committed suicide. The lead singer who gave all this energy and, you know, all this bravado for this video, like he took his life like shortly after he made the video. So the guy, I was like, oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. But then I started thinking, I was like, man, maybe sending you that video is what pushed him over the edge. Because I guess apparently, like, if you famous but you ain't famous, you can get paid. Like, people, there's a service, you know, like if you was a wrestler back in the 90s, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can get paid. People can pay you to be like, hey, my kid beat cancer. You be like, what's your kid's name? They're like, Theotis. And you be like, Theotis, damn, that's an old ass name, right? But then they hit the record button, they say, dance, monkey. So then you be like, hey, what's up, Theotis? Heard you beat cancer. Way to keep those white blood cells up, and way to, you know, whatever. And I was like, man, maybe that dude's video is what pushed that man over the edge. I didn't say it, but I thought it. So I laughed internally. And then I went to a restaurant, right? It was a restaurant closest to the business, and I walked in there, and they had, it was a Sharks, as a matter of fact, and I'm looking at the sign. They say they got Philly cheesesteaks, which they didn't, which I feel is wrong. Like, don't put it up there. You got it biggest day, got my mouth all set for a Philly cheesesteak. Y'all ain't got Philly cheesesteaks, right? But as I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the menu, right? It said they got buffalo wings, y'all. I'm like, okay, buffalo. And I look over and they spell buffalo wrong. But it's like big on the sign. It's like, dude, you know how many people had to see that sign before it went up? And nobody decided to, like, yo, that's not how you spell buffalo. Like, everybody's like shrugging their shoulders. If I see a sign, if I go to a restaurant, I see something on that menu that ain't spelled right, like, to me, is, I don't like it. It's just like, what is you doing, bro? You dig? So then, as my mind tends to do, right, I started thinking, when I see stuff misspelled, I automatically just dismiss it. I don't want to be a part of it. And then I started thinking about the guy with the video, and then I started thinking, man, suicide notes. Like, that's the one time in life you need to spell check that, right? Like, if I see a note, right, if I come in, it's a horrible scene. Oh my God, what happened to Theotis? And they be like, the cancer came back and he couldn't take it. I'm like, oh Lord Jesus, why? And he was like, it's a note. I'm like, give it here. Theotis was my dude, man. Let me read this note. If I see the first line and say, I am so desperate, and they spell desperate wrong, I'm throwing the note away, bro. Like, yeah. Like, if I see, I just want to quiet the voices in my head, but you spell quiet as quite? Nah, bro. Like, I can't rock with you, man. Yeah, no. You coming to the funeral? Nuh-uh. It's gonna be typos in the obituary. What up? Obituary, one of the words, if you don't know how to spell. Let's see. O-B-I-T-U-A-R-Y. Yeah. Like, but like desperate. People keep put definitive. Like, I'm like, the oldest. And I read, he's like, I made a definitive choice not to let cancer rule me. And I see definitive. You got a ATIVE? Nah, bro. Like, I don't even want to. You gonna be a pallbearer? No, I'm gonna drop him. No, bro. So yeah, and then, right? Okay, so a lot of times these thoughts just kind of roll, and sometimes I gotta figure out where they came from. Okay, so I was in a Mexican restaurant, right? Now I want you to picture a Mexican restaurant in your head, right? And what it smell like, huh? What it look like? What it sound like? That's what I'm getting at, right? So I go in this little Mexican spot. It's a little mom and pop shop. They actually live in the back. So, you know, when you go in there, every time it's a kid, a minimum of like one kid in Pampers where you supposed to be sitting at. They got toys there. They watching Coco Melon. I ain't tripping because y'all know, I know y'all scratching and surviving, right? Good times. So I try to go there like twice a week. I gave me a big burrito. It's a big burrito. I can cut it in half, you know, eat half for dinner, take half to work. You know, we out here hustling like that, right? So I go up in there. There's a little kid, right? Just one this time. Because I've been in there with like five of them, right? And all of them got electronic devices. Ain't nobody talking to each other. And then one of the moms, she one of the cooks, right? And then like the little kid, she spazzed out for something. I don't know. It's like, yeah, like that real gratiating cry. And then she was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Botatatuku. Botatatuku. Like hit her with the Spanish, right? And she ain't answering. She just, anyway, I'm trying to wait until they get it over with because it's, you know, whatever, right? So anyway, whenever I go into ethnic restaurants, right, be it Mexican or Chinese, right, they always got they music playing. Now, I know that sound real crazy. That sound real, what, red state-ish. But it just hear me out, man. If you an Asian woman, right, you working at a Chinese restaurant, right, and you going through a breakup, right, like, do you really want to hear, I kind of want to do the music, but at the same time, it might be racially insensitive. Don't nobody want to hear, bung, 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 you know, like, and you listen to that day in, day out, that'll drive you mad, right, like, you coming and you crying or whatever, and then the manager come from the back like everybody complaining because the fried rice is too salty. And you be like, that's because I'm crying in it because my heart broken, right? Don't you want to put on some Mary J. Blige? I'm talking to everybody who out here right now. Like, wouldn't you want to listen to Mary J. Blige if you was going through a heartbreak? No, I'm not going to cry, no. Right? No, nobody want to hear. All the Mexican cats don't want to hear that one little song. I don't know what the name of that song is. But they be screaming in it. It ain't screaming. It's like crying. They're like, hey, 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 hey. That song. If anybody know what that song is, let me know. Don't nobody want to hear Solamente day in, day out. And I ain't being racist. I used to work in a factory, right? I used to work in a warehouse. I take that back. For Montgomery Wards. They ain't even open no more. But every Christmas, December 1st, right? As soon as December 1st hit, they turned on the Christmas music, and I knew the songs by heart. It was like boom, da boom, boom, Red Nosed Reindeer, and then White Christmas, and then Yuletide Season, and then it was Holly Jolly Christmas, then Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I don't like Christmas music. I don't. Now, I will say this, though. I ain't got off the track, but I'll get back. I will say this. That Mariah Carey song, because that's like the flagship. You know, that's like the Darth Vader of Christmas music. That thing come on and boom, dun, 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 dun. Like, they keep marching it in earlier and earlier, right? But, and they bombard you with it. And they try and take the Christ out of Christmas. And, you know, then they start pushing it forward. It's like, now it's past. It's encroaching on Thanksgiving. It's taking up. It's like the Germans in World War II, man. Like, dang. But one Christmas song that gets my heart, because I hear it, and the only time I really hear it is if I'm getting in my car before my Bluetooth connect, is the song by the Temptations. That one, Silent Night. That one is soulful, bro. that one and the Stevie Wonder song, Someday at Christmas. Man, that's that jam right there, boy, because it's so much deeper than hip hop, right? Side story, man. I heard Stevie Wonder whoop the dude, man. This is back in the 70s. All right, so apparently it was a drummer, right? He had a drummer. And I guess the drummer was, I don't want to say that, you know, they was watching TV. I don't know what it was, but I guess apparently, like, the drummer got super mad at Stevie. And, you know, if I was watching TV and Stevie said, yo, hand me the remote, I'm like, man, I ain't handing you, you can't see it, right? And then, but anyway, they was at practice or something, right? And the drummer was upset, and the drummer wanted to throw hands. And everybody was like, you can't put hands on Stevie Wonder, not Stevie Wonder. And Stevie Wonder was like, it's okay, let's do the damn thing, right? So I guess all the bandmates around was like, well, you gotta at least, you know, get blindfolded. Like, you can't be whooping Stevie Wonder, the musical genius, with 20/20 vision, right? So they put on blindfolds, right? Well, they put a blindfold on the drummer. Obviously, Stevie don't need it. Not saying, just saying, right? So they square up, right? And I guess at the time, Stevie Wonder was working out. I ain't making this up. This is from somebody who was in the room. And they said the dude, you know, he was upset. So I guess he kind of charged to what Stevie was, right? Oh, they're swinging, throwing them Fifth Ward beads, right? And I guess Stevie Wonder was like, you merely adopted the dark. I was molded by it. I didn't see the light till never because I'm blind, right? And I guess, apparently, man, Stevie put him with the two-piece with the biscuit, man. I hit him with that drum roll. What was that song? It was in that Nope trailer. Everybody say, yeah. And I guess he was whomping him like, blah, 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 right? And they was like, whoa, Stevie, let him go. He was like, no, he thought it was sweet. He thought it was sweet, baby. Yeah, and put the flu floppers on him. So that happened. Oh, wait. Okay. So anyway, at the restaurant, right? At the Mexican restaurant, I get my food. And I look behind me, right? And Lord forgive me for this, right? But I see an albino brother behind me, right? And you don't really see these brothers out in the wild too much, right? Not really, right? He was an albino, so he was, you know, he was black, but he didn't have no melanin in him, but no melanin up in him, right? And he had the blonde hair, which I'm not laughing at this situation. I'm laughing because as I peeped the brother out, he wearing camouflage, and I was like, ain't that like an oxymoron? Like, and then like I seen, cause he had the camouflage pants on, he had one of those hats, I don't know what they call them, everybody used to wear back in the 90s, like a bucket hat, that's what it's called, bucket hat, rocking the bucket hat, right? So, and then he had a red shirt on, so, and you know, he on his phone, he looking down, so I'm looking at him, he, and I look at the pants, I'm like, okay, camouflage supposed to be to blend in with your environment, but God saw fit to make you a beacon of light that you can't do that. So why you hiding your light under a bushel, aka a bucket hat, right? I'm having all these thoughts, and then I see, like people do, he look from his phone, kind of glance and look back at his phone, and then he kind of looked at me, and I kind of looked, I turned my head like Stevie Wonder, like, dude, if you wearing camouflage, I can't see you. I just thought, like, out of all the clothes that you could pick, man, why would you pick the camouflage? I don't know, man, just, so anyway, and then I was thinking about, okay, on the TikToks, right? I don't really look at the TikToks, but Instagram, they were showing TikToks, right? And they got an R. Kelly challenge, right? So R. Kelly is, they play some song, we say, I'm gonna see you, we gonna do it to your leg shake. And they go, like, shake, 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 right? And all these young girls is over here gyrating and bopping their hips to the music, right? So I'm sitting here thinking, right now, you R. Kelly, you didn't got, you know, accused and busted and convicted of all this stuff, right? They were like, keep R. Kelly away from the babies. R. Kelly bad for the babies, right? So you in there for 2-3 years, all of a sudden somebody show you on the phone and he snuck in. They like, yo, R. Kelly, you trending. He like, why am I trending? And they were like, look, it's a challenge, right? And they hit the button and all these young, vivacious young girls over here doing the leg shake, right? And if I was R. Kelly, I'd be like, why am I in here? I don't... Apparently they like me. R. Kelly had a song. What do you say? He dropped an album too. He dropped an album. But I guess apparently what it was is the music was, it was, I think, while he was fighting his trial. And I think he was trying to use his music as a statement. But if you make sexy time music, you can't use sexy time music to tell people you ain't sexy time with people who ain't been on this earth long enough. So one of the lines was, I admit that I love the ladies, the young ladies, the old ladies or something. And, you know, no one listened to the whole thing, the whole album. They just took that little snippet and made the funny jokes with it. But if I was R. Kelly, I'd be beating on the door like, I ain't do nothing. The kids love me. Inappropriately, I guess. What else? Okay, thinking of unfortunate, I ain't gonna say unfortunate, but while I was at work, which I spent a lot of time over the last couple months at work, so you're gonna hear stories about that. This dude told me that his girlfriend, I don't know why he told me this, but his fiance, her birthday was September 10th, 2001. And I was like, man, that's a rough birthday to have right there, you know? He said, yeah, every time her birthday come around, she get a little sad. I said, yeah, I would imagine. But imagine if your birthday was September 11, 2001. Let's say you, what, six, right? You six, 2011, you know, they wake you up, you know, like, hey, what's up? Happy birthday. That's because, you know, when you five, six, seven, that's when you're making them long-term memories, man. Like, parents, they put that effort into it. You know, your first and second birthday, them parties is really for your parents, right? Because I've seen some first and second birthdays where people get drunk and get buck, right? So fifth and sixth, you know, they're going to dress you up. They're going to wake you up, maybe have your favorite breakfast, right? And they're going to put a crown on your head or whatever. Maybe wake you up with a little balloon, right? And they say you could pick anything you want to wear today. And then the little kid like, well, can I wear my ballerina outfit? Yes, you can, because today is your day, right? So then they dress you up and you come downstairs, right? All your family is there, grandma, grandpa, cousins, and, you know, all them people. And if your mom was a little loose, you got some steps, sisters and brothers down there, half sisters and brothers, right? You come down there, everybody like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. And you like, yes, I am. And they sit you at the head of the table, right? And they light the candles and they put a five on there or a six, depending on what you went with this imaginary scenario, right? And they light them and it's like about, let's say 8:45, right? So they say, make a wish and blow out the candles. And you close your little eyes, right? And you blow. You blow. And when you open up your eyes, you thinking everybody, you know, going to be all mystified and wonderfied about what you wished for. But you didn't know behind you was a TV. And everybody looking horrified because the first tower got hit. And you're like, don't nobody care about what I was wishing for? And they're like, oh my God. And grandma runs out the room. They're like, it can't be real. And dad is holding your rocking uncle back and forth, right? And he's like, what's going on? What's going on? And then you turn around because you're still in the high chair. You turn around and you see a big smoking building. You're like, that ain't what I wish for. I wish for a unicorn. And as they sitting there trying to comprehend what's going on, because when I saw it, I thought it was a trailer for the new Die Hard movie. And then you see the second building flying like, bam, right? And as a kid, man, your birthday is ruined forever. You ain't wishing for nothing no more. And I had that thought. So I'm sharing it with you. Now, on my YouTube, right? I'm sorry I said it like that, but when I opened up the YouTube, right, there was a commercial I ain't never seen before, right? And I ain't never seen it again. I don't know if because I was making good money or because I'm in that age group where, you know, you ain't married, you ain't got nobody. They start showing you stuff. Like, they kept showing me advertisements when I checked my email. They kept showing me advertisements for, what the people be dating? E-Harmony Senior. Like, yeah, you looking for love and you ain't getting no younger. Look for some old people who want to do things with you. Y'all know what y'all want to revamp y'all wheels together? Yeah, E-Harmony Senior or Silver or something. I'm like, I know what old mean when I hear it. Anyway, I check my YouTube, right? And they was talking about they had a special. I'm not making this up either. They had a special on Russian and Ukrainian brides. These heifers are trying to get out the country, man. They cutting deals. Oh, hey, my name is Vlad, and my deals are insane. I have a 2020 Ukrainian. We're slashing prices. I'm going insane. But it was a woman, actually, who was doing the talking. And she had, like, the cool little Russian accent. She was like, there are beautiful Russian and Ukrainian brides trying to basically run out the country. Like, we know y'all. This is, just say y'all, what's them people called? Refugees. These women was like, we getting out. We selling it. But remember when the thing first popped off, they weren't letting people out the country because that's a valuable resource, I guess. I'm sorry. I just had a thought, like, Commandant, all the baddest ones is leaving. Nine, who else is left? The dusty ones, the ones ain't nobody buying. Like, these Russian chicks got shrapnel in them, man. I got the extra 10% off, right? Anyway, I saw that and I thought that was bananas, because really, ain't that just, you know, that's like slavery. That's white trafficking. Well, not white trafficking, just trafficking, human trafficking. But it's like, it's on the up and up. Like, hey, no, I promise I will love you, you know. And like, is that whatever? And then I saw the Brittany Griner thing, and the crazy thing, because I had initial thoughts, and then I waited, and then most stuff happened, right? And I've asked about 4 or 5 people this question, and no one's been able to answer me. Because everyone was like, yo, Biden better do something. He can't leave Brittany Griner over there. She's an American athlete. She won the Olympics. She is a treasure of the United States Athletic Committee. I said, okay, cool. Well, what team does she play for? And no one's been able to answer that. And the crazy thing is, we've had 9 months to figure out what team she played for, what position she played. Don't nobody know, right? But anyway, how's the Russians gonna be like, we will give you Brittany Griner if you give us the Merchant of Death? Like, and then Biden had his back against the wall, because remember, Biden told us, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Well, when you put that big joker down like that, you're gonna have some black people like, all right, well, cool, run it, right? So then he was like, all right, cool. And all of us were like, what is you doing, man? The brother named Merchant of Death. Like, that's one of them names. Like, I was thinking that, you know, if you're doing your job, you know, as a Russian, he was an arms dealer. Like, hey, I think I need a intimidating nickname. And then they was like, okay, well, what about the Salesman of Despair?
It does not ring off the tongue, you know.
Like, okay, what about the chief associate of despair?
Yeah, I need something in my, how you say, a wheelhouse.
What about,
what is a synonym for a salesman?
Like, are you sure you use that in the right... right, context? Synonym?
Yes, synonym, words that mean the same meaning.
Okay, well, let's see. You sell stuff. You are you a purchaser, maybe? Purchaser of pain?
Put that in the maybe, pal.
What about the Merchant of
Yes, say it again.
Merchant of Death?
See it slower. Let me see. Oh, no, here comes Vlad, the Merchant of Death.
Yes, that's great.
It gets me a couple shirts made up. Gets me a pinky ring that says Merchant of Death.
Pinkies are too small to put that many words on.
Yet,
make it happen, right? And my thing, what, merchant? Yeah, that means you sell stuff. Okay, it checks out. I saw a couple years ago, right? They caught this old lady. She was back in World War II, She was a secretary. I'm sorry, that's how black people say secretary. She was a secretary for the Nazi party. I don't know what she did specifically, but she was a secretary, and they was like, oh, her name is the Secretary of Death. You know, they brought her old ass up. She was like 90. What? They brought her ass up on charges, man. She, I'm just an old lady. Yet, you are the Secretary of Death. Tell me, are you taking dictation? You know, she be like, that's inappropriate for an 89, 90-year-old woman to hear. Shut up. So that has been, you know, a little taste. I'm getting this darkness up out of me. I saw one more thing. I was driving, right, and I saw it was a used car. I'm assuming it was used. Nope, I take that back. It's two situations I'm actually pushing into one, right? So my homie bought a, it's a nice truck. It was like a truck, but, okay, hold on, take it back. My guy bought a really cool, it was an Avalanche. So it had like the truck bed, but it was big, it was like an SUV. It was a dope car, right? It was like a 2007, 2008, something like, really nice, forest green. So I'm sitting there looking, he's showing me, he's like, yeah, it's got the 20-inch rims on it. It's got the Bose surround stereo system or whatever. I'm like, oh man, this is really nice, congratulations. He was like, yeah, man, I bought it for, you know, for a song, it was cheap. I'm like, that's what's up. So I look at the back window, the rear view window, and it's got, you know, RIP, Lil Poochie, Forever in Our Memories, 2010, 2017, something like that. So I'm sitting there looking at it, and like, I guess he saw my eyes go to it. He was like, oh yeah. And I was like, yo, are you gonna take that off? He was like, man, I kinda want to, but at the same time, it's like a memorial. I was like, yeah. And he was like, and plus they put it on crooked. And I was like, yeah, I noticed. He's like, I'm just going to probably get a razor and scrape it off. I was like, I don't think you should, man. Like, so, but like, he riding around with a memorial, you know, on the back of his car that say, you know, we'll remember you forever. Well, you traded the car in. Like, so what? Does his spirit go with the car? Like, how does that work? If I was Lil Michi, I'd be like, what the? Forever. So forever until the 100-year mile warranty wear out. Speaking of which, man, this, because I had this thought around Christmas. I'm going to let it go. You know, people in my age demographic, you know, so 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe 60s. Do y'all remember Bloody Mary? Like, okay, for the kids that don't know, right, we would basically, because we ain't had the internet, we would freak ourselves out, right? So typically one of your older cousins would say, yo, you ever heard about Bloody Mary, right? And you like 7, 8, 9, right? You don't, man, you like, you heard of her, but you don't mess with her. And they would spin this tale. They say, oh yeah, well, Bloody Mary, the story changed, right? But depending on where you was at, apparently Bloody Mary was a young girl who got pregnant or something, and then she had a miscarriage, and then she like bled to death, or Bloody Mary, something wrong, she was wrong some way, and it was also a child involved, right? So yeah, whatever happened. And then your cousin, 13, 14, would say, they say if you go in front of the mirror, right, in the bathroom, and turn the lights out, and say, Bloody Mary, I killed your child 5 times, like something, she would appear. Now, I want you just, you know how harsh that is? Just imagine if you was Bloody Mary, right? Now let's say you lost your kid, or let's just say she got sold to a Russian man. I don't know. But you in the afterlife floating around, and people keep saying, Bloody Mary, I killed your child. Bloody Mary, you know. And what would happen is sometimes, like, you turn the lights on, right? It'd be soap on the mirror, and somebody wrote something crazy, right? I don't know. But just how heartless is that, right? Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. You know, We didn't have the internet, man. What'd you want us to do? Okay. I just thought that was really, just really in poor taste. Okay. Let's see. I got some stories that I want to, some BTP news. Let's see. Where is it at? I told myself I came to the decision, I don't want to cover any stories where people have died. I just, you know, unless it's super funny, right? So I'm looking for the story. Give me a second. I didn't want y'all to hear all this paper rattling, but let me see if I can find it. You know what? There's a pause button. Give me a second. All right. Our first story is man shot his doctor after he made him climax during a prostate exam. Now, I said I wasn't going to talk about people dying. I ain't say nothing about people getting shot. So, according to this, the way it reads to me is he shot his doctor. But, okay. There's a lot of elements involved here, right? So, okay. Sometimes, boys and girls, when you go to the doctor, it happens with female doctors too, right? I mean, not the doctor's not a female. When women go to gynecologists, right? Sometimes during the pelvic exam, you know, they say that sometimes that, you know, women can reach, you know, climax. That's just maybe because people touching stuff down there. Maybe they sensitive. I don't, you know. One lady says she sets a lot of doctor's appointments, right? So they tell me, and I bring this up because, you know, people in my age group, we at that age, we supposed to get the prostate exam, right? So don't fear the reaper, right? But just things start happening. Don't get confused like this, man, right? Okay, so they say if you get a prostate exam, you might pop a boner. That's what that's not the medical term for it, but you might get an erection, right? They say this is normal. Be cool, right? Because, you know, I feel a little uncomfortable saying it, but they say, you know, when a man and a woman love each other very much, sometimes the woman might stick a thumb in places and stimulate the, you know, prostate. And it's supposed to make it go off. Like, blam, right? So, all right. So, in my head, it goes down like this, right? It's an older man. Let's just say 50, 60. Crazy thing is that used to be old to me, but that ain't old no more, right? But he's an older man. He grew up in a certain generation, right? He's got a buzz cut, white guy. He's got this, he looks like Hank Hill. He's got a button up t-shirt. He wears the smart man glasses. Probably a pocket protector, man, in case his pen spill in his pocket. He don't want to ruin his shirt, you know? And his wife was probably nagging him, you know, Martha. She want to make sure he's okay. You know, he heavyset guy, got the Dunlap, right? So he goes into the doctor's office. He's a really straight shooter. You know, he's got his glasses on. He said, okay, it's time for the prostate. So he, you know, the doctor tell him to take his pants off. And he's got like the old man boxers on with the high church socks. You know, he's just a straight up middle of the road, probably a little racist white guy, right? So he takes his pants off. He's got the gown with his booty meat hanging out the back, little booty cheeks hanging out, right? And he's, you know, self-conscious, right? He don't nobody want to be exposed like that. How you going to be dressed in the front and assed out in the back? You know, so he's in there, right? And the doctor tells him to bend over. So he bends over, right? He just, okay, cool. This is just a normal day in the office for this man, right? So then the man puts his two fingers back there, right? Put a glove on first, hopefully. And then, you know, put the KY in there, whoop, right up in the pooper shooper. Now, this is when things start coming alive in this man. You know, he ain't never been touched. He ain't never felt like that before. And, you know, he's sitting there trying to straighten up, his push up his glasses or whatever, right? At the same time, he's hot and bothered. He's kind of twitching a little bit. And the man, you know, doctor say, please, sir, stay still. I'm trying to check your prostate. And next thing you know, he looked down. His soldier standing up. You know, no limit soldier, right? But it's the gown. So the booty meat out, but the front is covering up the situation, right? So he said, now how you like, doc, is it hot in here, man? I'm gonna go take a drink. He's like, look, man, stop moving, I'm almost done, you keep twitching and stuff, I gotta start over. He's like, oh Lord, I can't take that, right? Next thing you know, like he didn't ejaculate all in front of his robe, right? I'm sorry, right? Ejaculate in front of the robe, right? So now, and the the doctor, he, you know, he just doing his business. He ain't catching this, the feelings. He don't know the vibe, right? He don't know that inside this white man, music is playing, right? Birds is flying, and all kind of stuff, right? So, okay, stay focused. All right. So anyway, he's like, okay, well, everything seems to be in order, right? Then he looks at the man getting the prostate exam. He's like, man, what happened to the front of your robe, bro? Like, you know you paying for that. Like, this ain't no whole house. This ain't no cat house. What you doing? And then the man so flustered and discombobulated. He like, man, look, you touched me and things start moving and grooving. Martha ain't never did that, right? So then he's like, well, look, just clean yourself up. I'm going to leave out the room. So now my man, let's call him Albert. He's sitting there. He's feeling dejected. He don't know what he's feeling. Like, colors is brighter now. You know, he think he a part of Rainbow Coalition. He ain't. It was just a misfire. I don't know, right? So he get dressed. He put on his little flooding pants. He gets into a station wagon. He drives home. He talking to Martha. Martha like, and she doing the newspaper, right? She doing the crossword. She ain't even look up. She said, how's everything, Harold? He said, everything good. I don't want to talk about it. Go in the room. He's sitting there crying and stuff, right? So then he like, she like, okay, well, somebody's moody, right? He go in there and get his old pistol, his old revolver. He like, I got to kill him, man, because he gave me the gay. And that's what happened. Now, let's read. Okay, man shot his doctor after he made him climax doing a prostate exam. And they got a picture. They going to hell for this. They got a picture of an old man, like I said, but he bent up like, hey, shaboing boing, baby. Like, it's real. Okay. A Florida man, 56, shot his physician close range twice in the chest for making him climax during the prostate exam. On the day of the crime, which went down on August 22nd, they got the brother's name on here, he absconded the state of Florida. Oh, he went on the run. Okay, cool. All right. Fortunately, the physician he shot survived the wounds of gunfire, and he had now recovered fully. All right, this, I hate when I read a story that ain't written right. The brother who in Jacksonville was a car salesman had vanished without a trace. he thought he had to go live the gay life, so he probably got some booty shorts and stuff, you know. He is presently a fugitive, and some folks think he potentially left the United States. He went to Costa Rica, man. The doctor he fired upon notes for over 30 years he had been doing prostate exams, and guys ejaculate all the time in the midst of the prostate exam, and one sexuality has nothing to do with it. Milo needs help. Oh, I didn't try not to say the brother's name. Yeah, Milo. That's a weird name. The doctor elaborated. The prostate is like a male G-spot, and it carries semen. It is very sensitive, so when it is touched and massaged, you get an orgasm with almost no effort. I'm sorry. The prostate is only accessible through the anus, and that is not very comfortable for most men. I understand that Milo was shocked by what happened to him. An orgasm meant something sexual had taken place between us, and he became very aggressive, ordering me to apologize and say, no homo. I didn't even know what that meant. I'm sorry, that's very immature of me. I got a gun on somebody. Say no homo. I don't know what that means. Blam, blam. Okay. Ooh, that was funny. Let's see. What is the next story? Okay. Our next story. Let's see. Chess champ gets butt inspected amid vibrating sex toy cheating claims. All right. So there's not a reoccurring theme here. It's just, I saw these stories at two separate times, and basically they were trying to say, right, that the brother wanted to be a chess master super bad, right? Like, really bad. That was probably another mature word I could use. He really earnestly wanted to be a chess master. He yearned to be a chess master. I don't know. But my thing is this. The brother had got caught cheating multiple times, right? So this is how they assumed he did it. And it just, how far will you go for your dreams is what I'm saying. So apparently they saying that this chess master, three-time master, right, he had inserted a butt plug inside of him. And I guess somehow, which this is the part that's kind of amazing to me, he was able to I guess squeeze muscles or something back there so that somebody on the other side could type in the moves that was done, and then I guess somehow like maybe through Morse code the vibrations would tell him what moves to make so he could win. Like, how do you as a coach, like, how do you even bring that to the table? Like, look, man, you want to win? And you're like, yeah, I want to win. You want to win more than anything? Yeah, I want to win more than anything. Here, sit on this. Like, what is this? And here's a book of Morse code. Like, how do you? And that's just the most bizarre thing. Like, dude, it's okay to be good at chess. It ain't like, like, that is a Gatorade commercial right there. Is it in you? Like, real talk. Okay, so let's read the thing, see what's going on. It says checkmate. Chess master, I won't say the brother's name, was seen having his rear end inspected as he arrived to compete at the U.S. Chess Championships in St. Louis on Tuesday. Okay, real quick. Chess supposed to be a learned game of scholars and tech and finesse. Y'all having the U.S. Chess Championship in St. Louis? Like, come on, man. Right? An official at the event repeatedly waved a metal detector over the 19-year-old's butt following wild claims that the prodigy recently cheated with wireless vibrating anal beads that he inserted into his rectum. My man was like, whoa. You got any metal? No, I don't have any metal. Whoa. All right, well, just put all your metal in the tray over there. Sorry, I told you I don't have any metal. Whoa. No, I don't think you got no metal. So why you keep waving wand in my bum? What are you talking about? Whoa. Like, that's how the metal detector sound. Okay. The theory created buzz online last month after the Wiz Kid caused a major upset by defeating Norwegian Grandmaster, blah, 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 at the something on September 4th. According to the Riverfront Times, some pundits proclaimed that Nielsen was tapping into a remote computer via the vibrating toy. Through the logistics of how that would work was unclear. You know what? I want to say that the brother didn't cheat. You know, sometimes we do something amazing. People just want to make just the most low-down, dirtiest, you know, excuse. Like, dude, he's just a young man. He ain't got to be doing that. And plus, he didn't do like my homie Milo. Milo said apologize. All right, our final story is Thai monks fail drug tests, leaving temple empty. Now, I just want to say, when I typed in Thai monks, because I'm using a computer, the first thing that popped up was methamphetamine. So I almost want to see what that talking about. But okay, I didn't know you can get fired from being a Buddhist monk. Like, you seeking enlightenment. Like, how do they track that if you're a good monk or not, right? Like, do they have spreadsheets that they gotta fill out? Like, how long did you meditate? Oh, I meditated from sun up to sundown. Well, you ain't fill out the proper paperwork, so you ain't getting no overtime. Like, and how do you, being a monk, to me, just to me, seems like the easiest job. Only thing you have to do is pontificate about the world. Like, you ain't got to produce nothing, not really. You just gotta live a pious life, I guess. I don't even think that monks, you know, I mean, I don't think monks gotta like be celibate or nothing. Like, but I feel like if I was a monk at the monk temple and they come in talking about, all right, everybody, It's time for get out of the lotus position. Please stop reaching nirvana and trying to reach enlightenment. We need you to pee in a cup. Because I promise you, I'd be looking around. I'd tap the dude next to me. I was like, yo, Shining Buddha, did you know about this? And he'd be like, no. And then I'd tap him up next to me. I'd be like, Lotus Blossom, did you know that they was going to piss test today? He'd be like, no, I did not know. Right? And then on top of that, like, you shaved your head already. Like, so you can't just, like, when you become a monk, it's like you taking the oath. Like, look, I'm seeking enlightenment. They be like, what about all your possessions? I don't care nothing about these worldly possessions. I'm out here. I'm trying to reach enlightenment, right? But maybe being a monk is stressful. You know, you hit the Tucci one time, man, trying to get your head right. So, let's see what they say. They say four monks, including the abbot. I'm like, man, look, we understaffed anyway. Y'all really firing me over failing a piss test? Like, that's how y'all feel? Ain't nobody checking for y'all. Y'all gonna be, look, if Walmart is hiring, you know, ain't letting people go, I know y'all ain't tripping over little weed, bro. Anyway, four monks, including the abbot, tested positive for methamphetamine. Whoa. Okay, wait a minute. I just assumed they fell for weed, man. Like, you can't have no tweaked out Buddhist monk. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, y'all got to go. Like, y'all over here humming all fast and stuff. Like, you sweeping so hard, you kicking up, the broom is catching on fire. Yeah, you can't be a tweaker smiling at people you ain't got no front teeth. Okay. Four monks, including the abbot, tested positive for methamphetamines in the northern province of, I can't say that word. Dang, the brother name, I can't say that either. Boonlert Thentaptai said the monks were subsequently sent to a health clinic to undergo drug rehabilitation. Yeah, yeah. The raid. Dang, they raided. They ain't just P-test. They raided. I mean, they kicked in the door. And the monk came to the door like, hey, man, may I help you, my son? Get against the wall. Lift up your robe. Oh, look, sir, such intrusions aren't necessary. Shut up. Get up against that wall. Spread them. Like, sir, you are making a grievous error. And then they pull out a bag of meth. Like, what is this? Moon, dog, sunshine? Oh, that is not mine, my child. Shut up. You're going to jail. All right, so let's see. The monks were reportedly removed from the temple after police administered urine tests on Monday, which saw all four men fail. Man, imagine that episode of the first 48. They got all these guys in there snitching each other. Like, you know how the detective come in, like, look, you might as well tell us, crying son, you know, moon pie over there, he telling us everything. Like, oh, no, it wasn't me. I ain't bringing it to the temple. Yeah, all right, all right. Officials did not say what had brought the temple to the attention of the police. Somebody snitching, bro. Mr. Thentaptai told the newspaper that the temple is now empty of monks and nearby villagers are concerned they cannot do any merit making. I don't know what that is. Merit making is an important Buddhist practice where worshippers gain a protective field through good deeds, in this case, by giving food to monks. Well, they wasn't eating it and they wasn't sleeping. If you know anybody on methamphetamines, eating is the last thing on their mind. That they drink some soda. They'll mess up a Mountain Dew, some Faygo. Shh. I'm surprised the monks wasn't taking apart car engines, man. A meth head, they call it Frankenstein. That takes something apart and put it back together. Microwaves and everything, bro. Let's see. Okay. But Mr. Thentaptai said that regional officials had sought the assistance of local monastic chief who had promised to assign some new monks to the temple of Bung Samphon district in a bid to address the concerns of worshippers. In recent years, methamphetamine has become a major issue in Thailand, with seizures seizures of the drug reaching an all-time high in 2021, according to UN's Office of Drug and Crime. The country is a major transit point for methamphetamine. The drugs flood into the country of Myanmar, the world's biggest producer of methamphetamine, via Laos. The pills are sold on the street with a value of around 50 bahts. That's a buck 50 in U.S. money and a buck 17 in pounds. Last month, Thai Prime Minister, I can't say that brother's name, ordered a clampdown on drugs after a former police officer who had been dismissed from the force for methamphetamine possession, killed 37 people during a shooting at a nursery. Okay, well, that's going to be it for the podcast. Tweaked out monks, huh? All right, y'all. It's really good talking to y'all. Hey, I hope y'all have a great new 2023. Taking care of me in 2023. All right, fam. Real quick, as a wrap up, if you like what you're hearing, man, just like, share, and subscribe. Hit the button, that way when I drop episode, you get to hear it. Right, if you need somebody to talk to, you can call me 219-964-7781. You can shoot me a text. If you want to send me an email, which admittedly I probably won't check, but bros3pod@hotmail.com. Hey man, we made it through another year, man. God's been good, and I love y'all. Be good. We'll talk to y'all later. Peace.